Welcome to the National Presbyterian Church podcast. I'm Pastor Ray Hilton, and I'd like to personally say how thrilled we are to share our sermon with you this week. If you feel encouraged by our messages, we invite you to hit the subscribe button so you will never miss an episode. Now, let's go to the National Presbyterian Church sanctuary and hear the word of the Lord.
The scripture reading today is from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, found on page 984 of your pew Bible. Hear the word of the Lord. Rid yourselves, therefore, of all malice and all guile, insincerity, envy, and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "See, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame." This honor, then, is for you who believe. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the very head of the corner, and a stone that makes them stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the excellence of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Jerry, thank you for reading our text for this morning. Good morning, everyone. The Lord is with you. Why don't we keep that passage open if you've already put that pew Bible away, or you'd like to follow along by picking up a pew Bible and turning to page 984, and hopefully you will see some of the ideas that I've seen in the reading for today. Please join me in prayer. Lord God, you have indeed called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. And as we turn to your word, we ask that you would open our ears to hear, our minds to grasp and understand, our hearts to obey. Shape us to be your holy people, distinct in this world and devoted to you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We come now to the second to the last word in this whole summer series that we've been reflecting on, words to live by, and we've covered several important and interesting words. We've looked at words like righteousness and forgiveness, and we've talked about fellowship and love, and we've discussed words related to the cross. We've covered several of these words. Today, though, we will look at the word holiness, and then next Sunday we will finish up by talking about the word grace. And as we think about holiness, I want you to think about this question. Have you ever felt like you just don't quite belong? Maybe it was when you moved into a new city where everyone seemed to know the unspoken rules and the landmarks and the places to visit. We felt that when we moved to D.C. Or maybe you stepped off a plane into a country where you didn't understand the language, And the food that you were being served, you weren't sure if this is breakfast food or lunch or dinner. You were there, but you clearly knew in your mind that I'm not from here. Peter says, look, if you've had that experience, that's exactly what it means to be a Christian. Twice in the letter, we see it in chapter 1 and verse 1, and we see it in chapter 2 and verse 11, where Peter refers to the people of the church. He calls them exiles or resident aliens. So we could say we are exiles. We are resident aliens. We live here in the DMV. We work here. We raise families here. But if we really belong to Jesus Christ, there will always be something about here that doesn't fit. And that's not failure. That's not being weird. That's faithfulness. That's our calling. Holiness is what makes us, as you'll hear over and over, gloriously other. Think of the last time you heard someone use the word holy outside of the church. Most of us hear it in phrases like holy cow or holy smokes. I've even heard holy cannoli. Or worse, you've heard holy as an expletive or something less repeatable. Maybe when you hear the word holy and the background and the experiences that you've had, what comes to mind is people who project as holier than thou. People who are puffed up, they're judgmental, they're looking down on the rest of us. And so for some of us this morning, when you hear the word holy, it sounds like an old-timey word. It's outdated. It sounds rigid. It reminds you of something that is toxic. The end result is we hesitate to apply the word to our own lives. We hesitate to identify with the word holy because it suggests perfection and we're not perfect. But here's the irony. In scripture, holiness, in the Hebrew, it's the word kadosh, and in the Greek, it is the word hagios. The word holy, in both scenarios, it's never about looking down on others. It is about being lifted up. It is about being raised into a new identity, into belonging to the God whose very nature is holy. And we just sang that great hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy. And in the Bible, we read of God being called Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. It's the very nature of God. It's the holiness of God that makes life radiant and beautiful and distinct and free. And to see why Peter's words mattered so much to this community that he's writing to, we need to remember the world his readers lived in. So they were called resident aliens, not because they had left their homeland, but because they were following Jesus in a way that made them strangers to their community and in their town. You see, they lived in a majority pagan culture where religion was everywhere. It was woven into business. It was woven into family life, into politics. And so to be a good citizen of this community or the communities to which Peter was writing, one then had to attend the temple festivals. One had to offer sacrifices to Caesar. One had to join in these civic feasts. And to not participate was to stand out, and not in a good way. Christians were then viewed as unpatriotic. They were odd, maybe even dangerous, because of their refusal to bow to idols, to attend the violent gladiatorial games, or even to swear ultimate allegiance to Caesar when their neighbors saw people like you. They thought you were strange. You were unpatriotic. We hold you in suspicion. And so what was the result? And you'll see that in the chapters in Peter's letter. Christians then were marginalized. They were ridiculed. They were misunderstood. They were slandered. And we know from reading the letter that they were often persecuted. And many of these believers were, some of them were Gentiles, and they had left that old way of life, and they were now trying to figure out what does it mean to live as faithful Christians without losing our place in society. And they were wrestling with the pressure to blend in, stay quiet, go unnoticed. But Peter reminds them of their calling, and he quotes from the book of Leviticus, "Be holy, because God is holy." And when you hear that again, please, not holiness as retreat, not withdrawal into some religious bubble, not holiness as the clothes you wear or looking down on other people, but holiness as a new identity, God's people, distinct yet present, set apart yet engaged. So we can identify with these words because we live in a world where the pressure is always on to blend in. Look the same. Think the same. Live the same. Spout the same values. Blend in. And Peter says, no. He says, no. You are not defined by Rome. You're not defined by your neighbors. You're not defined by your rejection or even by your old life. You are defined by God's call and by the sacrifice of Christ's blood on your behalf. That's what makes you holy. And this isn't a new idea. One of my favorite Old Testament scholars that I love to read is Christopher Wright, somebody I have met over the years, wonderful man. And he writes in this very helpful book, Old Testament Ethics for the People of God. And so this is not a new idea. It goes all the way back. And he says, for Israel to be holy, it meant that they were to be a distinctive community among the nations. And I love this phrase, they were to be Yahweh-like, rather than like the nations. They were to do as Yahweh does, not as the nations do. In other words, holiness, it's not about retreating. It's about looking like God in the midst of the world, and that's exactly what Peter is inviting this disparate group of believers to be and to do. And he does it by naming the three ways in which God calls us to a distinct way of life. And I'd like to walk you through those three distinct ways and then end with a word of encouragement. And if you have your Bibles open again, you'll see that the first call that God issues to them and to us is that we're called to leave that old life, put aside that old life. And he lists some of the practices in that old life: malice and deceit, and envy, and slander. But then he quickly follows up with a very helpful word, because you would get the impression that this is about you putting in the effort, you really working hard to be holy. And Peter says, no. Think of newborn babies. And if you look at verse 2, you will see his analogy. Like newborn infants, crave the pure spiritual milk that you may grow up into salvation. Indeed, if you have tasted that the Lord is good. And of course, we've raised three children. Many of you are grandparents. Many of you are still raising children. You get that picture. You know the desire of a newborn who is hungry for food. They're going to let you know. And Peter says, well, this is where this life with God begins. This is how that life is sustained. It's desiring the milk and the food of God's word. and we reject the menu and the values and the appetite of the world. And it's not because we're better than anyone, but it's because we've tasted the real food. We've tasted something better. And I'm saying to you this morning, that's where holiness begins. It begins with God's goodness. And we put aside what is old and we embrace what is new. There's a second call that Peter issues to us. He says we're called to a new identity. And you see that in verses 4 and 5. And here he uses the image of construction. So he moves from a newborn baby. He talks about the image of construction. He says, come to him. Come to this good God, a living stone, though rejected by humans, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house. And I want you to picture God as the master architect, God as the builder on site, the master builder. The cornerstone has already been laid, and that is Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, that cornerstone, who is Jesus, Peter tells us the world has rejected him. But God has exalted him, and now God is building a new kind of temple, a new kind of people, a new nation, not out of brick and mortar, but out of people, people like you and me. And again, this is where holiness begins. It begins with identity. You're not defined by your achievements. We are not defined by our politics, by our race, by our failures, or even by our family story. We are defined by the cornerstone, Jesus Christ. And we are then the living stone that is fitted into his spiritual house. Years ago, and this is really going back, I read a wonderful book that is still as powerful today, written by Stanley Hauerwas and Will Willimon. It's called Resident Aliens. That's the old copy of the book that I still have to this day. And it's worthwhile mentioning, because they say that the church is not just a collection of religious individuals trying to live nice moral lives. They say that the church, and I agree with them, is a colony of heaven, an entirely new identity. When you belong to Christ, you're no longer just you, and I'm no longer just me. We are part of a new enterprise, a new people, a new building, a new kingdom. And so then holiness then isn't just striving to be perfect. It's about knowing then who you are. And you've been called out. You've been set apart. And you belong to God. Here's the last thing I would tell you about God's call. We've been called to put aside that old way of living. We've been called to embrace a new identity, but now he says in verses 9 and 10, we're called for a purpose. And Peter uses what I call a word cloud, and he piles up these identity words. He says, but listen, you are a chosen race. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are God's own people. Why? In order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And so holiness is not just who you are, it's what you are for. You're called for a purpose. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And I want you to notice the communal language that's here in verses 9 and 10, that this is not just talking about our private walk with Jesus. It's about a people. It's about a nation within nations. And here's the paradox. We are a holy nation, and yet we live scattered lives across all the nations of the world. I'm from Jamaica. Some of you are from Brazil. Others of you from all over the world. And yet we are this holy nation. We live scattered across all the nations of the world. We're resident aliens. And yet we carry passports when we leave this country. And for some of us, we speak the languages of the countries from which we're from. But Peter is saying there's something greater going on. Our true citizenship is in heaven. And what that means for us, we will never really fit in. And I'm being honest with you when I say that. And it's not because we're better than anyone. We simply won't fit in. That if you belong to Jesus Christ, there will be moments when you will feel strange. You will feel out of place because you're going to sound different. And you're not going to go along with what everybody is doing. And you're going to have a reason why. And it's not because you're holier than anyone. It's because of your identity. And you know that you belong to God. And you know that you're part of this heavenly colony. And that's okay, Peter says. Harwas and Willimon continue in that book, and they describe the church, and I love this language, an island of one culture in the middle of another, a colony of heaven in the midst of the world, and we're shaped by a different story. We are shaped by a different story, friends. We're trained, we're being trained in a different set of practices. And then they finally say, we are marked by a different set of loves. That's the reason why we won't fit in. And you can see the contrast everywhere. The world says, if you want to get ahead, you've got to climb over people or cut their legs off so you can get ahead. And the kingdom of God says it differently, that the greatest of you is a servant. You see it when the world says, you're the most important person, spend on yourself. And the kingdom of God says, think of others, give generously. The world says, they hit you, you hit them right back. You hold that grudge, you never let them back into your circle. The kingdom of God says, how many times must we forgive? 70 times 7. That's holiness. That is glorious otherness. And that's the reason why, if you are a follower of Jesus, you simply won't fit in. The values of the kingdom of God will make you feel odd. It will make you at times feel uncomfortable. But that discomfort is not a sign of failing. Hear me again. It's a sign that we're being faithful, that holiness always has the accent that you come from another place. Again, your identity, our identity, not in our resume. It's not in our reputation. It's not in our resources. Our identity is in Jesus Christ, his mercy, his love, his grace. And Peter doesn't stop there. He says, here's why. Here's why. Here's why you need to identify as God's people in this world today, so that, he says, you may declare the praises of God who called you, called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. God has not called us to withdraw. God has called us to witness. Witness. God made us different, not to hide us and to closet us, but to send us out. And I'm telling you, the early Christians understood this rather well. In the Roman Empire, these folks were unmistakably strange. They worshiped one God instead of many gods. They refused to bow to Caesar or any political entity. They loved across racial and cultural and social boundaries. They cared for the sick during plagues when everyone was getting the next ride out of town. In some situations, when families had a baby girl and they didn't want a baby girl, or they had a baby and the baby had some deformity, they would take it to the local dump and leave that child there, and the church shows up and adopts that baby. Their holiness, their glorious otherness set them apart. But you know what? People stood up and take notice, and it drew them in. That was their witness. And it's the same today. The world doesn't need another mirror of itself. The world doesn't need the church to be some kind of parrot that echoes the politics of the day or the divisions of the day or the consumerism of the day. The world needs a contrast community. The world needs to know there's a better way to live, there's a better way to think, there's a better way to love. And we are that community. We are that holy nation. We are that colony of heaven, a people whose life together points to this marvelous light of God. And so here's my challenge to us as I close, as we leave this space today. And by the way, this is what we call holy space because it is set apart for holy purposes. And so when we leave this holy space that's been set apart for worship, I want you to remember that holiness then is not a word to avoid, it's a word to embrace, it's not a feeling, it's a way of life. As resident aliens, we're called to live differently, to reflect God's glorious otherness in the world, and that life starts right now. It could even start today, and so right after we leave here today, you've already been asked to take one of these cards and to consider taking on one of these practices. This week, I commit to the following act of care. That as people living in the light, we will dare to care. We will dare to pray. We will dare to act. And that act, it takes courage, not pride, not holier than thou, but just that courage to say, I have a different identity. I am not going to take the values of this world as my way to live. I have my orders coming from the Heavenly Father. And so we step boldly into those places and those relationships where God calls us to live differently and to shine His marvelous light. And so we pray, and we care, and we act. Not because it's the last Sunday in August, and it's a Labor Day one service, and we're asking you to do some kind of gimmick. That's not what it's about. This is not just activities. These are living expressions of the people of God, of the holiness of God. And so I urge you to go from this space, this holy space, and go out as resident aliens, as a holy nation, showing the world the beauty. And that's what the holiness of God is, the otherness of God. It's the beauty of God shining through you and me. Let it be so, Father. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord, you are holy, and you made us your own. Help us now to put aside what is unworthy, to build our lives on Christ, the living stone, and to proclaim your mighty acts in word and deed. Make us a people who reflect your glorious otherness in the DMV and beyond. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lamb of God, Messiah, hope for sin.
We're glad that you could be with us today. If you would like more information about our church, visit our website at nationalprez.org. That's nationalprez.org. Help us spread the good news of the gospel by sharing our podcast with your friends and giving us a rating. If you haven't already, be sure to click the subscribe button. See you next week.